What is up from the SNY studios in New York City? Welcome to another edition of the Knicks Blog Podcast. I'm Anthony Donahue, joined alongside, as always, Moak Hamilton.
Can I get a playmaker over here? I need a playmaker beside me, Anthony. Listen,
I'm sorry. I'm
about to be 32. Okay, I don't have time for this anymore. I'm not a spring chicken anymore. I need a playmaker beside me, man.
I think that's something we'll have to touch on a little bit later on in the show.
All right, well,
that's
let's just weird. Make it happen, okay?
Yeah, that was one of the weirdest things I've ever
seen. I'm trying
seen.
To win titles over here, man. I ain't got no time to play no games with y'all.
Yeah, and we'll get into those LeBron's comments later. But as a sports fan, that was one of the weirdest comments I've ever seen publicly from a player.
Moak,
in this season, you know.
Ain't no laughing matter with these Knicks, though.
No, and forget last year, the year before, the year before, the year before, the year before. When this season started, you know, I obviously was very well aware there probably wasn't going to be a parade down the Canyon of Heroes, but I was hoping for some important games in March and April, maybe a first-round play. Oh, I expected the playoffs. I was hoping to do shows with you at Pizza Suprema across the street before Game 3 or Game 1.
Well documented. We all know what you wanted.
We were going to do shows, and I just, Moak, I want to say I shouldn't be surprised, but I can't believe what's taking place since Christmas. Or you could say since the Cavs game in early December. You could say since Christmas Day. I'm going to say since Christmas Day because they were 16-13 on Christmas Day playing a good Celtics team at Madison Square Garden. And since that day, it's been a complete disaster.
I thought you were gonna lose it right there when you said complete.
I feel like this is more of like a professional atmosphere.
Okay. Well, I like that. No, so obviously
thought about it though.
Since Christmas, I mean, what makes it particularly disconcerting if you're the New York Knicks is you look at the Atlanta Hawks, you look at the Washington Wizards, right? And you see these teams kind of turning their seasons around.
Kind of.
Because the Wizards
turning their seasons around.
You know, Wizards were 5 games under 500 a couple weeks ago, and now look at them.
When I went to the Knicks-Wizards game on my birthday in Washington, I believe the Wizards were 2-9 that day, 3-10, something like that.
Yep, like that. They weren't doing very well. But obviously, so the Knicks, I mean, dysfunction around the New York Knicks is obviously nothing new.
That's not new.
Something that we're kind of used to. And then you fought to the Dallas Mavericks last night. So, you know, you win one, you lose two, you win one, you lose one. And now all of a sudden you enter play today on Thursday, Mo, 7 games under 500.
14 of 18 the New York Knicks have lost. 14 of 18. Who does that?
Yeah, not good NBA teams, that's for sure. So, obviously, everybody's talking about Carmelo Anthony. Everybody's talking about, you know, the trade rumors or whatnot. But at least the past couple of games, you could say that Carmelo is actually showing up.
He's played very well. Really, since that Bucks game, I think, when they lost the buzzer on Antetokounmpo's fadeaway jumper. I think really since then, he's played really good basketball.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. He has played pretty good. Obviously, you'd like the shooting percentage to still be a bit higher. But, you know, the funny thing, Anthony, is we're spending all this time talking about Carmelo, and now we're trying to trade Carmelo, and I really don't think that enough attention is being paid to Porzingis. And I know we're going to talk
not playing good basketball.
I mean, not only that, he's not playing at all in a lot of instances, right? Like the guy has missed some time.
He can't even put the ball in the hoop right now, Moak.
Yeah, but I mean, I think we're probably going to get to him a little later.
Yeah.
But the point is this: when you look at what has transpired with these New York Knicks over the past 15 games, they're not really losing because of any one thing. And it's always easy to look at Joakim Noah. It's easy to look at Jeff Hornacek and say, oh, well, he should be playing Hernan Gomez more. You know what I mean? All these things. But there's a confluence of events. And if you want to talk about why the team has been struggling, you got to look at the entire picture. And I'll tell you this. If you look at their record since Phil Jackson came out and publicly criticized Carmelo.
Oh, I tweeted that like 2 weeks ago.
Hasn't really been that good. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of dysfunction around his team. More than one reason why they've been struggling.
When the New York Knicks were 14-10, when the New York Knicks were 16-13, I never really thought they were playing that great. But, hey, they were 16-13. Like Bill Parcells said, you are what your record is. So they were 16-13. They were 14-10. So my thought process, you know, with the glass half full style of life was, okay, they're going to eventually get better. And then I didn't see this collapse coming, man.
Nobody did.
I can't believe it. And now what do you do here? Because Phil Jackson made these moves to win now. He brought in, you know, Joakim Noah. He brought in Courtney Lee. He brought in Brandon Jennings and Derrick Rose. Now, granted, Jennings and Rose just had one-year deals. But that's a bad optic, too, to bring in and there's nothing wrong with, and you spoke about this before the season started, there's nothing wrong with Derrick Rose and Brandon Jennings wanting to get paid. So you're bringing in two guys who are looking for homes next year.
Right.
So does that mean they're going to be playing for the team or playing for themselves? Now, I think even though Brandon Jennings.
Well, I mentioned that as a concern coming into the season.
You did. That's what I just said.
And to be perfectly honest with you, Derrick Rose has looked pretty good at certain
times
during
the season.
But it
seems like Derrick's playing.
But it looked like he playing for himself.
Now, I think Brandon Jennings.
Let's be really real about that.
Yeah, BJ, I think he is playing for the team. He's just not that great. Mm-hmm. He comes in, he looks to pass.
BJ, who is Brandon that? Jennings. Is that you? No, I mean, like, I never heard anybody call him BJ
just
before.
Came off the tongue. That's all. Right. It wasn't like, and he's played pretty solid.
That's why they pay you the big bucks, man.
Yeah, in a sense that he's not trying to just play for himself. But Derrick Rose, there's a million things I could talk about what Derrick Rose has done the last few weeks. But last night with end of the second quarter, there's 12 seconds left. You hold for the last shot. Now, granted, Derrick Rose scored. He drove to the basket and gets a layup with 10 seconds left.
Yeah.
To me, you don't do that. I've been watching the NBA since I was 8. You hold the ball for the last shot, second quarter. You hold the ball. To me, that was a classic example of Derrick playing for Derrick. And then after the game, as we taped the show on Thursday, Wednesday night in Dallas, Derrick Rose complained, moaned, and bitched how the Knicks don't play any defense and need to be accountable about
he's
playing
like
defense.
He's like public enemy
now,
number one.
I wouldn't mind if Derrick did that, but Derrick was getting out there and locking up dudes every day, exactly. Like Ron Artest in 2004, but Derrick Rose ain't doing that. Yeah. He's letting guards go past him every possession. So who are you to get up there on your soapbox and talk about this team don't play defense when you don't play no defense?
Well, even worse than that, how you going to call out the coach? And talk about the coach. I mean, over the course of the season, Derrick Rose has been pretty critical of Jeff Hornacek.
Yes.
Talk about, oh, he needs to push us harder.
I mean, he even left town.
And that's the point. That's the point I'm going to make. I don't know how you consider what guys need to understand. Guys talk about leadership and locker room presence and all this and all that. But the words are nothing more than hot air if the actions don't back it up.
Exactly.
And if there's one thing that NBA players are good at, and if there's one thing that locker rooms are good at, it's sniffing out the BS. You know what I mean? So if you're Derrick Rose and you come in there pounding your chest and talking all this good talk, if you're a guy like Justin Holiday, 2 days in, you looking at him and you're like, yo, how are you going to talk about defense when I don't see him pulling up his shorts?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So guys see through that almost immediately. But, Ant, I want to take a step back. There's something that I want to kind of get on record here, and I want to get your thoughts on this. Because something that is being said, a phrase that I'm seeing being written and being tweeted at me pretty often is, quote unquote, another wasted season.
Feels that way.
Feels that way right now.
Maybe it leads to the draft pick of the greatest player in NBA history in June.
It's possible. It's possible, right? But as we speak right now, let's just keep things in perspective.
You talk about the standings?
Yeah. I mean, the Knicks are 7 games under 500.
And they're still in the, yes, that's a fact.
But look, man, they're 3.5 games outside of the sixth
but if
seed.
They keep playing the way they're playing, they're going to keep losing and losing and losing. But I do think eventually they will win some games just because there's no way they're that bad.
Right. Well, I mean, I tend to agree with that. But, again, we're going to mention Porzingis again. But you need Porzingis to be the player that he was the first 15, 20 games of the season if you want to get out of the rut that you find yourself
What's
in.
What's happened to him, man?
Before we get to that, let's just pivot now to the elephant in the room.
There's an elephant in the room?
Carmelo.
I think he's been the elephant in the room since the summer of 2010 with the Knicks and their fans. In the
summer
media.
Of 10, okay, yeah.
Because
when
LeBron James
spurned us at the Boys
the
and Girls Club or whatever.
Yep.
Called all the media down
Eight miles from the Knicks practice facility. went to Carmelo the next day.
That was pretty phenomenal. The focus went to Carmelo that night.
Right, yeah.
Because I remember Knicks fans congregated in front of the Garden and were watching it on the big screen.
Oh, I was at a bar.
I was actually at home with my two brothers watching it on TV.
Sad night.
But anyway, so let's talk about this Carmelo, Kevin Love, Cavaliers thing. First and foremost, what are your thoughts about it, generally speaking?
So if Phil Jackson offered Carmelo Anthony for Kevin Love, that means, and I would think this is what it means, either Phil Jackson was going to do it, and let's just say the Cavs said yes, he was going to go to Carmelo and say, hey, I got a deal on the table, yay or nay. Or did Phil Jackson go to Carmelo Anthony and say, hey, can I call the Cavs? And Melo said yes. I wonder, what do you think about that? That's what I'm wondering. How did it happen?
Well, my understanding is that it's the former. My understanding is that it's the former in that Carmelo was not – it wasn't discussed with Carmelo ahead of
so
time.
So Phil went to the Cavs, and let's just say the Cavs said yes, then Phil would go back to Carmelo Anthony and say, hey – do you want to go to Cleveland? I have a deal on the table. And then Melo can say yes or no. So it wasn't Melo saying, yes, I'd go there, get me to Cleveland.
My understanding, and I ain't no Woj, all right? So shout out to
nobody's Woj.
To the great Woj of the vertical. I ain't no Woj, but from what I understand, the Knicks front office thinking is that there's not a great trade market for Carmelo. So in their mind and from their perspective, what they would want to do is they would want to go and kind of surveil the situation.
Yes, and then go back to him.
And then go back to him and say, hey, look, you know, what do you think about this?
If he didn't have no trade clause, I think there'd be 20 teams.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Every team would want.
Listen, hindsight is 20-20. Yeah. So let's not even – because if you were the Knicks and Carmelo did not have a trade clause, Orlando – the Lakers.
And he has 2 years on his deal after this year.
The Celtics.
So
the Portland Trailblazers.
Many teams would do it.
The Charlotte Hornets. You know what I mean? There are a lot of teams out there. The Sacramento Kings. Their teams would be lining up in droves to sign Carmelo. Carmelo is going to be 33 years old, on the hook for about $25, $26 million over the next 2 years, guaranteed. But in an NBA.
And a 15% trade kicker.
Well, forget about that.
Do the Knicks pay that or the new team would pay that?
That's a good question. I believe the Knicks would have to pay that. Don't quote me on that. But the point is this. In an NBA where a guy like Chandler Parsons is making $24 million a year, Carmelo Anthony will be worth $26, $27 million over the next 2 years.
I haven't seen Chandler Parsons play in 3 years, by the way.
Yeah, well, you ain't missing much.
Yeah.
You ain't missing much. But anyway, so my understanding of the whole Cavalier situation with the Knicks is this. Last season, it was brought up by somebody, quote unquote, on the Cleveland side. This is information that I've gotten from a source. It was brought up on the Cavaliers side about this whole Melo LeBron thing. Or I'm sorry, Love Melo thing, right? And Frank Isola was all over this even from last season. But the point is, that was brought up last season and the talks never got serious. And what happened this season now is renewed interest on the Knicks' part of wanting to explore possibilities for a Carmelo deal. And they basically approached the Cavaliers to see if that was something that would still be on the table. So I don't even know if it's the point to where the Knicks are interested in trading Carmelo, but they're at least thinking about it now at this point. And Carmelo himself now also thinking about it.
Well, I think the Knicks have been thinking about trading Carmelo for over a year now. I think it's just more the Knicks are aware of Carmelo Anthony has no trade clause. And if he, one, he doesn't want to get traded. And two, if he's going to get traded, it's only going to be a few destinations, you know, whether it's L.A. or Boston, or you know, maybe there's a shocker team in there like a Portland or something. Nike's up there. I don't know. He's brand Jordan.
Yeah.
I don't know. Something to think about. Well, you mentioned, Moak, that you're no Adrian Wojnarowski, and
right,
that's by no means an insult. Adrian,
there's only one Woj.
That is true. Who like pulls over and runs over like deer to break stories. So Adrian Wojnarowski of the Vertical is reporting that the New York Knicks,
as well as Chris Mannix, one of the homies from New York,
has reached out to the Boston Celtics, reached out to the Los Angeles Clippers about their interest in Carmelo Anthony.
As well as the Cavaliers.
Which we've already talked about. Mm-hmm. So my question is, again, if the Knicks have reached out to the Clippers, if the Knicks have reached out to the Celtics, has Carmelo Anthony blessed Phil Jackson, Steve Mills, and those guys to reach out to those teams? Or are they reaching out, let's say the Clippers say yes, then going back to Carmelo and say, hey, by the way, the Clippers will take you. I want to know how this is going down.
Yeah, well, that's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. So it's a very fluid situation. But what we should remember is Wednesday night after the Mavericks loss, I think that Carmelo was asked two very important questions. One was whether or not he would consider waiving the no trade clause if the Knicks organization decided they did want to go in a different direction. And he said, yeah, I'd have to consider it, right? And then the other thing, which I thought was a great question that he was asked and no one's really talking about, was whether or not he feels that the Knicks organization is passively, aggressively trying to run him out of town.
Such great reporters we have.
And Carmelo, that's a very good question.
No, it is. I'm being serious.
Oh, okay. I thought you were being sarcastic.
No, that's a great. No, it's true.
Okay.
Always digging. No, I was being serious.
You know what Carmelo's response to that question was, I don't know.
Carmelo does always keep it real.
And the way that he said it made it seem as though Carmelo is like, you know what? That might be a possibility. So anyway, Anthony, I was actually tweeting this morning. What I said this morning on Twitter was that for Carmelo to actually be traded, there have to be a perfect storm of events in the receiving team. And by the way, shout out to Jay that did confirm that the trading team pays the trade kicker money. Okay. But anyway, for Carmelo to be dealt, there has to be a perfect storm of incidents. There has to be a team that legitimately felt like it was one or two pieces away from contending for a title. has to be a team that has a lot of money on its payroll so they can make the salaries match for Carmelo. And it has to be a team that's in a big market that Carmelo would be amenable to relocating to. Okay. So Boston probably fits those requisites, and the Clippers probably fit those requisites. So now the question that naturally becomes, if you're a Knicks fan, well, what is the return that we could get from these teams,
and I've said this now for a few weeks. I think, and I could be wrong here. I'm not reporting, but thinking. Two totally different things, by the way. If Carmelo goes anywhere, it's going to be the Clippers. And the question is, are you going to get back a bunch of pieces, or are the Clippers willing to dump Blake Griffin, who is free agent at the end of the year, and there has been rumors that the Clippers have grown tired of Blake Griffin. You know, Chris Paul is going to be a free agent. The Clippers know their chance to win a championship with this group is kind of ending. You still have J.J. Redick. You still have Jamal Crawford. Chris Paul, he's going to be out, you know, probably 4 or 5 more weeks. I think if Carmelo Anthony goes anywhere, it's L.A., especially when you factor in Carmelo's lifestyle, his wife Lala, who is an actress. L.A. is perfect for them. Obviously, if Carmelo wants to go to Boston, anywhere else, Lala will stay in New York, travel back and forth to L.A., whatever the case may be. But I think if Carmelo is going to go anywhere, it's going to be the Los Angeles Clippers.
I think he does get traded. I think at this point now, it's...
Before the deadline?
No. That's what I was going to say.
Summertime.
I think he does get traded, but I don't think it's going to happen until the summer.
Well, I have a question then.
Hold on. I want to talk about the Clipper thing real quick.
Go for it.
And this is important. The reason why the Knicks and Carmelo are at odds, and the reason why they have been at odds for a while, is because Carmelo as an individual player and the Knicks as an organization, as a franchise, are not on the same page. Carmelo Anthony is a player whose best days are behind him, and he's a player that wants to try to win right now. The Knicks organization is an organization that has some young, promising pieces, and they want to build for tomorrow.
But didn't Phil Jackson make moves to win now by signing Joakim Noah, Courtney Lee, Brandon Jennings, trading for Derrick Rose?
He did, and it has not worked
thus far. No, it has not.
So now it's time.
It has not worked.
Now it appears as though it's time to pull the plug on all that.
I got one for you.
Hold on.
So
Doc Rivers is not going to trade Blake Griffin for Carmelo Anthony, because if he does that, the Los Angeles Clipper team is not made any stronger. Trading Blake for Carmelo does not make the Clippers better than the Golden State Warriors or maybe even the San Antonio Spurs. If you're the Clippers, what you need is to add Carmelo to the core three that you have out there in Los Angeles. So, Knicks fans, if this is something that does happen before the deadline, do not expect to get Blake Griffin in return. Expect the trade to end up happening with spare pieces included, J.J. Redick, Jamal Crawford, Austin Rivers, and expect those pieces to eventually be jettisoned to another team that feels it's a fringe contender that would yield picks for the New York Knicks. Because if you're the Knicks, what the hell are you doing with Blake Griffin and Kristaps Porzingis in the same front court?
No, that makes zero sense.
So if you're the Knicks and you want to get Carmelo out, what you need in return are draft picks and or young players that have promise for the future, which brings me to the Celtics. If something were to happen with the Celtics, the one name that you should expect to be prominent in those talks would be Jaylen Brown. The Boston Celtics do not seem to have much use for Brown. They have a lot of good wings on that team already, and they have the rights to the Brooklyn Nets' first-round picks, which might be the number one overall pick in this year's draft. So Celtics have a lot of pieces already, a lot of picks, and a guy like Jaylen Brown. So when you look at all of the incidents, right, when you look at all the factors here, just know that a deal for Carmelo would likely result in the Knicks getting young, promising pieces for the future that they can use to build around Porzingis. I don't see a guy like Blake Griffin really fitting the bill for the New York Knicks.
I agree with everything you said, but I got a plot twist for you.
All right.
Got a plot twist.
Thank you for letting me get that out.
Oh, of course. No, no.
That was important, right?
Very important stuff, as you always.
I can be a little assertive. I hope I didn't intimidate you.
I'm sure I intimidate you sometimes. I got a plot twist for you, though.
All right.
We're going to have some fun with that. What if he doesn't get traded by a deadline?
Okay.
And he's still here in March, blah, blah, blah.
Then things get real interesting.
No, here's what can get interesting. If either
Phil Jackson quits
or if Mr. Dolan is just tired of losing, say, it's been 3 years, man, don't let the good Lord hit you where God split you, and he fires Phil Jackson.
Okay.
I'm not saying he's going to. I'm not reporting that. I'm just having some fun right now on a podcast. What if Phil Jackson gets let go by the Knicks? Does the plot twist change then?
I think it does change. If Phil Jackson is removed, either by his own volition or by Jim Dolan.
It's possible.
It's very possible.
I think so, too.
It's very possible. Let's not even get into Phil. We'll do that next week.
We got plenty of time
for that. Let's not even talk about Phil and the moves that he's made.
We got plenty of time for that.
But The point is this, if you're the New York Knicks. If Carmelo lasts a season on the Knicks, right, the Clippers might then be removed as a potential trade partner because we don't know what's going to happen with both Blake and Chris Paul, okay?
Two free agents.
Right, right. But forget about that. If Phil is removed from power, Derrick Rose is in the final year of his deal. Brandon Jennings is in the final year of his deal. You don't re-sign either of those guys. Joakim Noah at that point would have 3 years left in his contract. It would be very difficult to buy him out with 3 years at an average of $18 million per year.
To do it, it's probably the New York Knicks organization with the money they have.
Maybe, maybe.
That's a lot of money.
But the point is this, right? If Phil is out, you don't re-sign Rose, you don't re-sign Jennings. You might be able to find a trade partner for Courtney Lee, maybe. But the point is you'd have Carmelo, you'd have Porzingis, you'd have a couple of young players, and then you'd have some money to go shopping in the offseason. And then maybe if you're a Carmelo, you give it one more year, because after next season, Carmelo actually has an option to opt out of his contract.
Right.
Carmelo could become a free agent July 2018. So if he lasts a season and then Phil is not brought back, it is very, very possible that he sticks it out for the final year, and if things don't work out next year, opt out and then go chase the ring, whether it be in the Clippers or the Cavaliers or what have
you. So you do agree with my plot twist? Not saying it's definitely going to happen, but you agree with the twist that could happen.
Of course it could happen.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely could happen. There's no way that you can objectively look at Phil Jackson and say, oh, he's safe. You know what I mean? Like, oh, there's no way they would move on from him, because if you look at the good things he's done versus the bad things he's done, it's kind of even money.
The only way I'd be giving Phil more of a leash if he was coaching, because I'd say, listen, he has the credentials as a coach. I still want to give him more of a chance. As far as running the team, I'd send him packing today, but that's a conversation for another day because
Let me just say something real quick. I know we're about to go to Porzingis, but Derrick Rose. A lot of people talking about Derrick Rose. Can he get traded? Blah, blah, blah. From what I understand, there's not much of a trade market out there for Derrick Rose. Maybe you could find a taker because he's in the final year of his deal.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't really bank on that either because he hasn't really played up his trade value very much.
Right, and especially with all the things that have happened off the court, like going AWOL. But anyway, let's get to Kristaps Porzingis. I think, Moak, and I like Kristaps Porzingis, I think he's going to be a very good NBA player. How good he's going to be?
I'm happy that you say think, though.
No, and
Knicks fans are already building a statue.
And that's not fair to KP. I love KP. I love his work ethic. I love how hard he plays. I love that he loves New York. I love that he loves basketball. This guy loves basketball. I love that he's tough. I've never thought he's going to be, you know, dunking from the half court line. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of Knicks fans out there that think in 2 years he's going to catch the ball half court, actually, and dunk from half court.
Yep.
Like jump over everybody, dunk from half court, and, you know, do a 360 while doing that.
Yep.
And that's not fair to KP. I think he might be, and a lot of people say, well, he's going to be better than Dirk. As the Knicks played the Mavericks last night. I can't say that yet, but that's, again, as far as what Porzingis is going to be, conversation for another show.
Yeah.
We have plenty of shows to do that. But as far as what he is right now, he was really good the first 15 to 20 games of the year, mm-hmm. almost giving you 18-7, 18-8. But the last few weeks, I know he was bad, a little bit of the injury with the Achilles. He has been just awful and almost looks like he's disinterested. Also, he's not getting involved in the offense as much as he was, but he just hasn't played good. Last night, there was a point where he missed nine shots in a row. He's not even putting the biscuit in the basket right now.
Yeah. All right, so here's the reason why everyone needs to shut up about Porzingis, and I've been saying this for a little while. Porzingis is a good player. He got some promise.
Yes.
Like what I see, et cetera. Let me just rattle off a few names for you right now, Anthony, all right? Brandon Roy, Grant Hill, Penny Hardaway. Hell, you could even put Anthony Davis in that mix if you want to. What do these guys have in common?
Well, Grant Hill lasted longer, but I know what you're saying.
The first couple of years these guys were in the league, especially Brandon Roy. Oh,
yeah, he was
man,
awesome.
Brandon
he
Roy was awesome. Nasty.
Rookie of the year in 06.
Listen, man.
06, 07.
What about Tyreke Evans? You want to put another name out there? What about Tyreke Evans?
Yeah, he's been trash.
Tyreke Evans is a rare example of an NBA player who peaked as a rookie.
Yeah.
Tyreke Evans is one of four players in NBA history who averaged 25
and 5 as a
rookie.
Grant Hill, though, didn't really go downhill till his seventh, eighth year in the league, though.
Fair point.
Rookie in 93, and then he really didn't get bad until about...
Until he moved on to Orlando.
Exactly. 94, by the way.
Sorry. Yeah, all right. Fair enough. But the other guys...
Yes.
The point is this. Part of being an awesome NBA player and being a Hall of Famer and being a guy that has a statue erected is longevity and the ability to stay healthy and the ability to be effective not only in the first 10 or 15 games of a season, but how about the last 10 or 15 games of a season? How about making some playoff runs, all right? So Porzingis got a lot of potential, but everyone needs to understand at this point, it's still just potential.
And that's okay. That's okay.
Anthony Davis has not even played 70 games in a season yet. All right? So, yes, Chris Tapps is good, but let's let the guy be effective for 70 games before we start talking about turning over the Knicks franchise
team. Yeah, and that's the thing. Everybody's just saying that KP is going to carry the Knicks, and maybe one day he does, and I hope he does. But I think it's unfair to put those expectations on him. But that's
now hold on. So you had pizza with Chris Tapps at Supreme.
I did,
right?
A year and a half ago.
What kind of pizza did he have?
Regular. Just regular? Yeah, he had regular.
All right, listen, man, next time you have pizza with the man, you need to tell him to put some steak on the
steak,
pizza.
Yeah.
Or
maybe some eggs.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, a lot. Yeah,
get him some protein.
Still needs
him bulk up a little bit because you need strength and girth to succeed for 15 years in the NBA. So when people talk about Dirk Nowitzki, I don't even want to hear that.
Dirk's an ultimate.
I don't even want to
hear
that.
Dirk with 24 points Wednesday night versus the Knicks. So let's go around the league.
Let's have Chris Tapps shoot better than 43% from the field.
Dirk is, I'm gonna, for
15 games before we start putting him in the conversation with Dirk.
I'm going to miss Dirk. And let's go around the league every week as we do on the Knicks Blog podcast. And my around the league, I have 1.5, actually. No, my around the league is John Wall, the Washington Wizards. John Wall, when you talk about top point guards in the NBA, when you're talking about these conversations in the bar, in the barbershop, at the basketball court, at the gym, how come I don't hear John Wall's name? I need to hear John Wall's name more when you talk about top point guards in the NBA, because I think he's been it for a few years, but this year, especially since mid-November, John Wall has been fantastic.
I agree. He in your top five, though? He's not better than Steph Curry, right?
Steph Curry.
He's not better than Westbrook.
Harden.
Damian Lillard.
No, I got Wall before Lillard.
You got Wall
yes,
over Lillard?
Yes. Wall before Lillard. Wall before Chris Paul right now.
Before Chris Paul?
Right now, yeah. What Wall's done for the Wizards this year? Yeah, that's not an insult.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Fair.
And my half around the league, just Vince Carter, that 360 last
night.
You're
being greedy now.
Yeah,
half around the league?
Yeah. Vince Carter, 40.
What is this?
Vince Carter at 40, doing amazing things. That's it.
1.5 around the league.
Did you see that, though?
You pulling that star move on me. You must have got your contract renewed a week
early. I just thought
about
it 30 seconds ago.
Man, my around the league is the Cleveland Cavaliers, man. These guys look like they're kind of falling apart. And I think they're just bored.
Might be.
I think they're bored. But these guys have lost 6 of their last 8 games. It is the second time in LeBron James's entire career that one of his teams have lost 6 of 8 games, including his rookie year.
I'm sending him flowers, man.
The last time it happened was March of 2011, I believe, as a member of the Miami Heat when he first relocated down to the South Beach. So, anyway, if you're the New York Knicks, that is the hope that you have. You say, all right, the Cavaliers are struggling. Chris Tapps has been hurt. We're only 3.5 games out of the 6th seed.
I guess.
Maybe we can turn this thing around. Maybe all hope is not lost. If you're a Knicks fan, and if you end up keeping Carmelo, that is what you hang your hat on. But at this point, 7 games under 500, we have not seen much over the past couple of weeks that would give anyone that watches this team regularly hope. So we got to see what happens with this Carmelo situation. The trade deadline, I believe, is February 23rd. Yeah. So we are less than a month away. The All-Star reserves will be announced tonight. I doubt Carmelo is going to make the cut. We'll revisit that next week. But the point is, there's a lot of things to look at between now and the trade deadline.
And just like All-Star Weekend 2011, it was all about Melo, it might be the same this year.
In a much different way,
in
though.
In a much different way, exactly.
I don't know
exactly.
If he's going to be down there in New Orleans eating the baguettes with Anthony Davis and LeBron James and the rest of his clique. I don't know, man. I don't know.
Even though we're talking about the Knicks losing and the Knicks being a damn disaster, Moke, it's always fun rapping with you. Great job, as always, out of our producer, Jason Terry. We'll be back next week right here on the Knicks Blog Podcast. Have a good one, everybody. Take care.
This has been the Knicks Blog Podcast, part of the SNY.TV Audio Network.